do the plantings, we do tomato tastings in San Francisco. We take all our varieties of tomatoes that we have. We do a lot of heirloom tomatoes. And we have tastings in the city, and people can come. They're right in the mission in at a bookstore, and they come and they taste tomatoes, tell me what they like from the CSE that year and what they didn't like. And it, we have cheese and bread and drinks, and it's a great social occasion. So again, with the newsletter, it's actually quite easy to do. We have a template in the computer, and we just plug in the stories and plug in the pictures. I carry a digital camera with me all the time on the farm. I'm taking pictures all week, and then Monday morning I have to download those onto the computer, and hopefully I can write stories pretty easily. And that tells them about who's working on the farm too. So I used to sell to Safeways. I used to in England. I used to deliver to three depots, over 200 stores, 6 days a week, barcoded, packaged, priced, everything. In 3 years, I only got one rejection, and it was because the truck was late 5 minutes, missed its time slot. And only once did the buyer actually call me up and say, oh, that's really nice Napa cabbage, Nigel. So, you know, what I'm looking for as a farmer, I don't know whether I need validation or what, but I just don't need that extreme of dealing with Safeways. You know, I need some kind of warm, fuzzy feeling. Okay, am I doing okay? Am I not? I mean, just to get a check on a Monday morning, that wasn't really, I mean, okay, I got the money for the produce, but really wasn't that interaction. It wasn't really what I really want to sustain me to do this. Okay. So I've always been looking for something else, and that's where I went to the farmers markets. Now, farmers markets are fine. Farmers markets are a lot of hard work. I find them exhausting, and you can never tell how much you're going to sell. So in terms of efficiency, the CSA is very efficient. On Monday morning, we pick 535 bunches of arugula. And, you know, we don't pick 100, take it to the market, and maybe sell 50. Or run out for 100 by 10 o'clock. So the CSA, to me, is a way to farm efficiently. So the focus I want to do today is how CSA members help us on the farm and how they've helped us. Okay, so I suppose I should start, I'd like to start with our orchard. And that's the temperature on the farm. Yeah. Yeah, we've had frost. Yeah, it's been pretty cold. Yes. It's going to be a good bloom on the peaches and nectarines this year. They've got plenty of chill. Yeah. So that's really going to be great. So what in the orchard, how we started, we planted an orchard, but we wanted to plant some more trees. And then a customer came along and said, my grandmother just died, and we wanted some kind of memorial, and we thought maybe you could plant some trees for us. So they gave us $150, and we planted 15 lemon trees. And we thought, huh. And we wrote about it in the newsletter, and other members said, well, maybe I'd like to do something. So last year, we ended up with $3,000 and 300 trees that we planted in the orchard that were paid for by members. And I thought that was just something that just happened. And I thought that was just a great idea. Whereas, you know, I try to keep a good business, but sometimes planting orchard trees, it just takes capital. And we don't always, it's having that kind of help really is really helpful. This is one of the events that we have on the farm, sleepover. Yeah. I mean, we had a tomato day on a bank holiday at the end of August, and we just happened to have some irrigation water spilling, and they're my two sons, and the lady on the left, her son there, are in the mud. And they stayed there for 2 hours. And we had to put that kid in the bath and hose him off. And there was, yeah, they're absolute members. You know, they're like, they're locked in. That's the thing. If you can get customers on the farm, get them, get a personal relationship, that's she's going to be a customer for life. I guarantee it. This is our tomato tasting, and one of them in San Francisco. We make an effort to make it look beautiful and abundant, and people come after work and eat, taste the produce. School groups, they come out to the farm. School groups, is Gloria's going to talk about that. The guy photographer here is a National Geographic photographer. This is his own little project, trying to copy posters from Communist China. And he wanted to do a photo on the farm and do this photo shoot. So yeah, fine. He's a CSA member. Do whatever you want, you know. We have restaurants. All these people here are from Millennium. And they come out to the farm one day a year. The chef is on the right. That's Eric Tucker. And they do a tomato dinner at Millennium with predominantly our tomatoes and some from another farm in Watsonville. And every course has tomatoes in it. And there's 140 places at the restaurant. And this year they sold out 2 weeks before, $50 a plate. And it's everything has tomatoes in it. And so, you know, we get customers coming to that. We get lots of people and enthusiasts. And it's building a relationship between chefs and the farm and customers. And the chefs pick all the tomatoes for that. And he brings those chefs out to taste in the field. And they go through and taste all the different varieties. And they kind of have a little huddle and say, well, anyway, this one's going to work with this. This one's going to work with that. So it's training chefs, too. And they actually get to see how this stuff is grown. Okay. The other thing is that Michael Abelman, a long time ago, people know who Michael Abelman is from Fairview Gardens. He told me I had to be a slut. We got to spread the word. Family farmers have to survive, and people have to understand why it's really, really important to support family farmers. And so I do quite a bit of this. I've worked with NorCal, who are the trash people in San Francisco, because we use food waste compost. And we've had all the major networks out on the farm looking at us using the food waste compost. And this is Tamara Keith from KQED. This was in November. Again, talking about compost. I believe she's going to become a member, which is good. Yes, I can. Yeah, can I just go through? Yeah. So this is tree planting. These people paid for the trees and they planted the trees. Okay? Make them work. But, you know, they want to. I mean, how many people in the city get a chance to plant a tree? And for $10, they can plant a lemon. And what, you know, $10 is what? 3 lattes? So, you know, it's... Okay, now chickens. I put this photo in the newsletter, and I just put it in, and I put a little caption under it. Last Saturday, the chickens were watching Chicken Run. And I got quite a few comments and said they really enjoyed it. This is a way where, hasn't quite worked out how we anticipated it to be, but how it worked out was we had somebody who actually was the partner of our CSA manager, and he said, I'm going to do free-range chickens. I said, okay, well, you can do them as your own little business on the farm. You can use the farm's resources, but, you know, you buy the chickens, you buy the feed, you sell the eggs, and it's you take the profit, okay? So we said he wrote something in our newsletter and said to CSA members, okay, I'm Kyle, this is what I'm going to do, yeah. And so he said, how about you help me? So we had people, we raised $25,000 from our CSA members in 3 weeks. Right? Said $1,000 and we'll pay you half a dozen eggs a week as interest. And you can lend the money for 2 or 3 years. And that's still going on. And that's doing great. Okay, next thing. Yeah, that's Ramon. He picks up chicks. Yeah, it's good. There's my sons. Yeah. Another thing, this is something that went wrong, getting customers involved. Okay, this is a family label from Virginia. My son's great-grandfather was a peach and beef farmer. And we wanted to take this label and make it into an Eat Well Farm label. So we thought, well, how about we ask the customers? We said, we'll do a logo competition. And we have some pretty high-powered people in San Francisco, lawyers, all this kind of stuff. And these people are insane. the people who do logos and graphic designers, they all wanted to do it, but they wanted to be the exclusive person to do it. And it's like, I opened a can of worms and quickly closed it. They were calling me and saying, Nigel, I'll do it. I'll do one, and I'll be the best, and I'll do it. And they all said that, and I said, I can't deal with this. This was too much, so I need to find somebody. Okay, then I'll just see what more pictures they have. Horses. My crew wants us to get horses to do harvesting. Not the big tractor, but so we don't go out in the mud. And a customer offered $10,000 challenge grant to other customers. It's going to cost $30,000 to get two horses and all the equipment and the house. And they wanted to put up $10,000. Other customers put up $10,000, and I was going to put up $10,000. But we haven't quite got there yet. Photovoltaics. Another customer works for a solar company, and she got me five solar panels for the price of one, and we gave her a year subscription for that $1,000 she spent, and she was really happy. So I've got six solar panels. I got almost $6,000 worth of solar panels for $1,000 worth of produce. She got them at auction. Another thing we can talk about, this is Mike. He was farmer's market manager, first CSA manager for me, full belly, trained him. Yeah, okay, Anna. I'm just trying to get through. Yeah, Mike Appel. He came to me, but not knowing really the business side or how to computer databases, all that kind of stuff. And so we try and specialize in training these people beyond just growing vegetables. And my kids, you know, okay? That's it.
Can I use
it? Yeah. Here we go, Gloria. Sorry.
That's okay, I'll be shorter. Okay.
Okay. Next up is Gloria DeCater.
What's this thing? What's this thing?
They use help.
What am I supposed to do with this thing? See, we farm with horses. We're not technologically advanced.
You guys are going to hate this when you get the tape. It's going to sound so bad. But this goes here. And this can go like right there. How about that? Be careful not to find yourself.
Sorry, I don't have some beautiful slides like Nigel. That was beautiful. Thank you, Nigel. That was excellent. We farm with horses in Mendocino County. And this is, we think, our 20th year as a CSA. I think we were probably one of the first, if not the first, in California. And we farm with apprentices. We're a biodynamic farm. And we have a lot of involvement with our members. And actually, two of our members just finished launching our website after 20 years. And they spent probably the last year with an incredible amount of time working on it. Francesca did all of the artwork, collected all the photos. She collected over 3,000 photos, and she has them stored. So we have a backlog of pictures. And so if you want to check out the pictures, it's livepower.org. And there's lots of pictures on there of the farm, and it's pretty awesome. And Jeff did all the technical work, and we had someone else donate the whatever all that technical stuff is for designing the website. And our distribution, we're in Mendocino County, 3 hours from San Francisco. Most of our members are in the Bay Area, and we send all of our vegetables down in bulk, and our members are organized into neighborhood cluster groups. And so on Saturday morning, we deliver Friday night, and on Saturday morning, there's a representative from each one of those cluster groups that comes to the Presidio at 8 o'clock, and they bring the baskets for their group. There's 6 or 7 families in the group, and then they divide up all the vegetables that we've sent the night before. And not only our vegetables, but flowers and fruit from Good Humus, Jeff and Annie Main, and that's a share option. And Jennifer Green, who does a grain share, she sends down beans, grains, seeds once a month, and that goes into their basket. One of our members has volunteered her time to organize a bulk purchase of butter and yogurt from Strauss Dairy, and so that is an opportunity once a month. And I used to do eggs on the farm, but we decided to pass that on to someone else. And so Adam Gaska from Mendocino Organics at Fry Winery does our eggs. We pick them up on our way down to San Francisco, and then the members get them there. We also have meat shares, and we have another farmer friend in Covelo who does pork, and so people can order pork shares. So it has developed to quite a distribution center, and people are able to get quite a variety of their food. And sometimes you have to be careful, try not to have all of those things. The things that come once a month, we try not to have those happen on the same time so we don't overwhelm members with so much that they have to carry. We also have to think about their cars. What can they hold? And so that's why we always limit the number of families in a particular cluster. But those clusters are rearranged every year, and our members actually do all of those arrangements, the database, figuring out, and they've gotten more clever through the years figuring out systems of trying to set that up, because you want to make it as convenient and as possible for people to be delivering to 6 or 7 families once they have divided up all the shares. Because they load them up into their cars, and they're done at the Presidio in about an hour, and then they go off to the neighborhoods and drop them off outside people's homes, just leave them there or knock on the door and go from there. And usually what they try to do is Saturday morning when they start, they try to have a circle, and everyone introduces themselves, and so people get to know each other, and then organize who's going to take care of the fruit, who's going to take care of the vegetables. And Stephen and I always try to go to the sort. Usually we just drop it off Friday night, and then we're either heading back home or staying someplace in Santa Rosa and doing errands. But when I've gone to the sort, I'm always so impressed at how organized they are and how efficient they are. And someone is responsible for cleaning up, someone's responsible for folding up the boxes, and I'm always applauding them at how well they accomplish those things. Our newsletters, particularly in the Bay Area, because we have a membership in Mendocino County and the Bay Area, our newsletters, I write a newsletter every other week, and I send that down to one of our members via email, and they format it, and they copy it, and they have it there at the Presidio for our members. And again, that's volunteered. I don't have that set up in Mendocino County as yet, but we're working on that. A big program that we've done for, it's 22 years now, is having school class visits come to the farm. So we have every spring and fall, every other week. It's pretty intense. It's mostly Waldorf school, but we also work with a private school in the East Bay called Prospect Sierra. They have 3 6th grade classes who come every year, and they come, you know, Tuesday afternoon, and they stay through Friday morning. They camp in the orchard, and we all eat together. I have someone who is there and helping to arrange the cooking, but also the parent. There'll be one parent who cooks along with, and then the kids cook, and they're milking the cow, feeding the animals, making compost is a really important thing that we do together. And of course, they plow with the horses, and they shear sheep, and then whatever else we're doing on the farm at the time. And since we're working with schools in the Bay Area, many of those children are getting vegetables from us. And then that relationship develops over the years. It's really wonderful. You know, 20 years now, we have so many kids who are no longer kids, and now they're in college. And they, the parents tell me, well, you know, they've gone off to wherever they are, and they're looking for CSAs, and they want to make sure that they become a member of a CSA wherever they are. And when they get home, hey, where's the basket? Where's the vegetables? I need that. I want that. Many of our members talk about how Saturday morning they bring the basket home, and they, as a family, this is so sweet, one member just told us this over in the fall, as a family, they sit there, and they have two little kids, as a family they sit there, and they put all the vegetables on the table, and they look at them, and they talk about them, and they figure out what they're going to do with the week, as a family, what they're going to do with those vegetables, and then they put them away. But they also talk about, you know, wow, what, where was that vegetable? How was it grown? And, you know, they think about that, and they try to create a story, especially since now they've been to the farm, and they've seen, and they've worked, then they have a relationship, and so they're building that relationship, and they're so excited about that possibility for the children. I don't know how much time. Yeah. Well, I should just mention that years ago, we accomplished it in 1995 with the help of our members, because of our members. We wanted, and my husband, you can ask him questions later, he's much better at talking about this, but we were trying to figure out how we were going to buy our farm and what kind of ownership. We didn't want just totally, completely private ownership. We wanted to figure out some sort of system. So we came up with this idea. We did research all over the country along with the help of our members. And we talked to land trusts and all sorts of organizations. And we came up with a specialized shared equity conservation easement. And because of the relationship with our members and their commitment, their concern, and their caring, we raised $90,000 towards that easement, and then we were able to buy the land. And that was in the early years. We started that effort in probably 1992, and we actually purchased the property in 95, and that really, you know, gathered our membership together. And we have so many members from those early years who are still with us. And we're so excited that they had that opportunity to work together with us. And I think in the CSA pre-conference, one of the things yesterday, one of the things we were talking about is that members want an opportunity to work with you, to do things for you. They want to be able to participate. And when you give them that opportunity, just as Nigel's given so many opportunities, it's just beautiful what you're doing. When you have all of those opportunities and you just ask them, hey, can you help with this? Can you do this? And, you know, if they are able to, they want to. And then they're just so much more committed, and they're so much more apart, and they're carrying the farm for you, with you, together. And for us, that's what's so important, and I think that's what will continue to carry CSA and all of us into the future.
And so the gentleman playing with the slideshow is Tom Bros. He is with Live Earth Farm in Watsonville. And while they're playing, I used to work at Veritable Vegetable many, many, many moons ago. In the last century. It's actually true. Thank you for bringing that up, pal. One of the first drops, if I'm not mistaken, for the farm was at Veritable Vegetable, and I was so impressed with it. They would come and drop off the product like they're doing the Presidio, and then these little worker bees people would come in the morning and just go nuts. They'd pull out the baskets, they would have a great time putting everything in, and then they would load it all up in their cars, and like you said, somebody swept and took care of it, and they were in and out of there in about an hour, and we're just so delighted by the whole thing. You'd hear people even going, oh, I just can't wait to show so-and-so this kohlrabi. It's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen, and they're just going to love it. It was really, it was really encouraging and fun to watch people just be so excited about gathering the box and making the basket for their neighbors. Because that's what they were doing. They were doing it for their community. And it added this little extra added love thing that I was just really incredibly impressed with.
It is when I listen to Nigel and Gloria that I get inspired for the next season. And that's one reason I come to EcoFarm every year, to get inspired. Because I see that the farm is much more than just a way of making a living. It is basically a way of living, and what has been the most rewarding, I'm sorry, this thing is just out of control. Maybe we'll just turn it off and then I'll go through the slides. Maybe we'll turn it off. Let's turn it off and then. And so about 12 years ago, I went from the city and onto this adventure to farm, and it was always a dream of mine. I did go to school, I got formal training in agriculture, but I never came from a farming family. I grew up in Ecuador, and that's probably where I got inspired by the farming culture that exists there. And when I moved to California, I dealt more with environmental issues as it relates to farming, and then moved on to maybe we'll turn it off, and then we'll just, and then I'll just show the slides later on. And I said, when our son was born, about 12 years ago, I said, you know, this is probably the time to move on to a different way of living. And we moved to Santa Cruz, went to the UCSC Farm and Garden Program, and we started on 2 acres, basically, and immediately launched into the CSA concept. And I remember the first time we started planting, it was a community effort, and we planted potatoes, and we shared a meal, and it was a very simple event. But from there, things just, it was always that inspiration and that feedback that we get from being together as a community on the farm that probably keeps me going, and probably keeps all of our farmer, you know, farm workers and everybody more inspired and more, gives them more meaning as to what they're doing, because a box with a face is better than a box in a truck that goes nowhere. We started with 15 members, was all word of mouth, preschool of my son. There was about 15 families that wanted to just see what we can offer. And today we have 550 members. And the whole process was really one that kind of grew naturally. People wanted to have this connection to a place where their food was coming from. And one of the things that we honor and try to instill with our customers is the seasonality of things, that they understand when they eat something, that's what's in season and that's what they're going to get. They're not going to get something from, you know, somewhere else that's out of season. And so we celebrate the seasons on the farm. We actually have the solstice and the equinox celebrations that are very important. And we gather all the people as many people as we can, up to 250 last year, to come and really honor that transition. And we do that to acknowledge that we are basically fed from the same piece of land, and that we are also doing it as a celebration. You know, we're eating and getting food, not just to nourish ourselves, but to come together as a community. As Nigel was saying, you know, it's everything that we offer is, maybe to a small extent, it's the produce. It's probably more the bigger picture, the concept that's behind it. And so what the various forms that we engage with the community is through education. And when we open the farm to our community, there's so many, there's so much interest within the community to connect, not just as a community, as a CSA member, but also to allow other people in the public. The schools were the first ones, mostly elementary schools, that approached us and wanted to have, you know, a chance to do farm tours. So that's something that we've been doing from the very beginning, and it has been probably one of the most rewarding aspects, is to get 20 kids or 25 kids, 40 kids, to explore the farm, and to just, whether it's in the spring walking through a maze in the cover crop, or, you know, picking the strawberries, or, you know, picking the squash or the pumpkins in the fall. There's something about the spontaneity of kids that is amazing, that I feel always gives me a new way of looking at the farm. You'd be amazed when you see 20 kids walking around the farm. They see things that you've never seen before, even though you've been there for 12 years. And there was once a little girl, she came in her slippers, and we had this tall stand of sunflowers. And I said, just go in there and explore, you know, do whatever you like, just pick whatever you find. And so she just approached these sunflowers in a very interesting way. She just walked up to the sunflowers, and she stood there, and they were like, you know, way over. And she said something, I was not even listening, I was just kind of like standing next to her, and she said, now don't look at me like that, I'm not famous. and then she walked in, you know, and it was interesting. And there's a lot of moments like that that I just always find extremely inspiring. So the kids, we have probably, you know, 10, 15 classes in the spring that come through, and then probably the same amount in the fall. We are also starting to look at the older kids. You know, there's some of the kids that started with members that are, you know, now 13, 14 years old, and the parents are saying, you know, I really want my son to work on a farm. And so we're trying to set up opportunities where we can get the teenagers to be on the farm. We offer a mini camp that is a sleepover, two night sleepover on the farm, and with the parents and the children, and that's always kind of a highlight during the year, where we get the families together. It's not just the kids, but the families. And we do, our theme is always the field to fork theme, you know, how do you see everything from the beginning to the end. What we also do, we have an apprenticeship, three to four apprentices. This is just kind of, just to give you a flavor of the community just coming to the farm and really harvest and gather and walk the land. This is what we do for our equinox and solstice celebrations. We always have a big bonfire with music. We have a potluck, and you'd be amazed how much food people bring, and it's just an amazing event. This is also a community effort with one of our apprentices to just draw the logo on our delivery truck. And this is just to give you a feel. This is our kind of fire circle and people gathering around it. We have, of course, all other, we have a lot of activities, music, that go with that, and it's almost a whole day event. We have goats, and we milk them, and animals are always a big attraction for the kids. You'd be amazed how what milking experiences for kids, especially, and we're pressing apples. This is our son in the red shirt, David. Making compost with the banana slugs in the back, singing on. This is just a kind of a fun activity that we do. The banana slugs are a local kind of enviro music group, and they're members. My mother was out once visiting, and she made chocolate dipped strawberries, and of course you can see the attraction of that, little chicks. And the families, it's amazing how hungry people are to come to their land, and I'm always surprised. Especially, maybe not so much, we deliver all the way down to Carmel here, and up to Palo Alto. Overall, we probably have more people coming from the peninsula, the, you know, San Jose and up to the peninsula than, but it's just a moment to, you know, to have a different experience with the land. This is the parents taking a nap, father taking a nap, and the daughter watching over them. This was a community event. We made a cob oven, and this is one of our members, Charles. He got inspired, and he said, you should start a bread share, and I'm going to build you this cob oven. And so we got together for a weekend, and we built this cob oven. And we actually, I was crazy enough to do a bread share for a year, baking about 60 loaves every week in this oven. But that was it. Now we use it mostly. for the events. It's always great to make a pizza or bread or out of, you know, it's just a great event to use that oven. Here's a pizza. And with the kids, it's great. You know, they pick something and then they get lunch. You know, like when we have a school of a school coming through, they make pizzas. And they love pizzas. You'd be amazed what they bring as in their lunch bags. You know, I'm always appalled to see what they have to eat in the schools. This is a group of students that came with an organization called Global Culture. We had them for a week. We also had a group from Southeast LA, from Jordan High School, that joined us for a week. That was very interesting. Kids that have never probably eaten anything like what we grow, but arugula was never even in their vocabulary. But they, at the end, were making things from what they were harvesting. It was fun. This is a music group in Santa Cruz, Kusanga Marimba. They're members, and they come and play for us every year. Just a picture of the circle, the banana slugs. And here we have an apprentice that loves to do the fire dance, and she still comes and does her fire dance at the end of an event like that. We also are offering permaculture courses. There's a young fellow that is really into permaculture, and we have now monthly, we offer courses in permaculture. That's been very inspiring. Every month, first weekend of the month, people come and learn. So we open up the farm to educational experiences. And I think to some extent, people are also looking for a deeper meaning, their connection with the land. And so we try to instill maybe a certain, understanding that it's not just a physical nourishment, but you can also look at a piece of land. You may call it spiritual, but maybe find a deeper connection with your community, with your land, with what you eat, and honor that in a deeper way as a way to support, you know, more sustainable ways to farm. So with that,
I'm interested to know how you handled, you know, the liability insurance issues and the nuts and bolts of having a bunch of people show up on your property, like bathrooms and, you know, facilities like that.
If you've got decent liability insurance, you are covered for visitors to the farm. We have porta potties. I mean, if you're doing it on a regular basis and charging people for it, then that's a different thing. But I do my farm visits through CAF, through the California Alliance with Family Farmers, and they organize it, and they also carry insurance for it. So yeah, it is a concern, but on a, you know, as long as you're not doing it like every, it's like weddings, you know. I mean, if you're going to do weddings every week on the farm, then it's a different insurance than if you were doing it on an occasional basis.
Yeah, it's the same with us. We have liability insurance. We actually have a permanent bathroom in one of our buildings that can be used. Composting toilet, if you really want to do that. And, but it is something that is important. What our insurer told us is it's like we have ponds, you know, and it's really important to have some signs up for just to basically say, you know, be careful, caution. We had a child slip into the pond once. So since then, we try to have signs up. Same with animals. You know, you kind of have to be careful and just maybe just inform people about what's going on. But we never had an incident that we can, you know, that was of any importance.
We have a composting toilet. But I think what Tom's saying is what's really important is to really be conscious from the beginning of safety. And, you know, be thinking about that. I mean, with all the school classes I do, you know, we have 20, 30 kids, and they're there for 3 or 4 days, plus their parents. And I emphasize that from the beginning. I go over everything, possibilities, talking about working with the animals, and just really build into a consciousness. I'm working with my apprentices regularly and talking to them about, you know, things that they need to do. You never let kids stand in front of the wheels of any piece of equipment because, you know, their little legs will go right under those wheels and get caught. And sometimes they're so little they're not going to get hurt. But, you know, there's always that possibility. So I think you have to have that consciousness with you all the time and just be, you know, prepared, you know, and thinking about before you have people come, just look around, you know, what are the possibilities?
I just want to add, community events take a lot of effort sometimes to just get the farm ready, you know, for the public to come in. I mean, there is a certain effort that you, I would say I would spend probably one person for a half a day, you know, just look at all the different possibilities where there is some danger, you know, whether it's, you know, whatever standing around, things, you know, you just, there's so many ways that you could have a possible accident, and you just have to kind of comb your farm to see, you know, what is reasonable and what needs to be taken care of. You know, even the thistles, you know, we have a time of year where the thistles are really bad. And if we haven't taken care of, I mean, we do like night walks during our mini camp, and we once had a little boy just kind of scream, you know, in the middle of the night because he got caught in a thistle patch. So it was, things like that. You know, it's kind of minor, but it's still something important to keep in mind.
And is there a minimum liability amount it can cover, for example, at $1 million, $2 million, whatever it is?
No, we have $2 million.
You have $2 million covered.
Is what we do additionally when the school classes come is that the school will name us as insured for the time that they're there. And that's no further cost to them, but then that's further protection for us. And so if you're working with any sort of group, that's, you know, whether it's a school class, but any organized group that they're coming from, you can use that.
The question is, if your customer base is far away from your farm, how do you go about doing outreach to get your customers to come?
We started 11 years ago, and we were visible at the farmers market for 3 years. We actually gave away CSA boxes for several months at the farmers market. So we had a little notice up saying we're going to start a CSA, and if somebody was interested, we'll say, well, come next week and I'll give you a box. And we gave them some brochures, and they took it to their friends. We also found people who said, oh, let me see if I can sort something out at my school. You know, so the legwork was done by people who expressed an interest. You know? And we started with 48. Now we have 520, 25 members.
We started having our school class visits before we started the CSA. And so we had a relationship with families in San Francisco through the Waldorf School. And so then we reached out to them, got several of them together, and had a
communication and started up as Tom did with 15 members, and then it just grew from there. And then we kept working with the Waldorf School, and then word of mouth on from there.
What is always interesting? There's always some people that are interested in being a drop-off site, and what we say is to make a drop-off site worthwhile, it's about 15 members typically, and so the person that is interested will reach out to the community around, and that's a good way to, I think, to get the word out. And organizations such as schools, churches, even restaurants, they can also promote, your CSA program. And we have, for example, a restaurant in Palo Alto, they're really into slow food, and they said, you can be a drop-off at our place on Wednesdays. And they have a brochure right there in the restaurant, and they promote it for us. So that's one way. But word of mouth is really the way to go. I mean, we have a survey in our registration, so how did you find out about us? And it's always, some kind of word of mouth kind of.
I just wanted to say, this is off the topic, but I forgot when I was talking. And we've been working with the San Francisco Waldorf High School, and they have an internship time during for their 10th graders and their 12th graders. So in the spring, I have two or three kids come up for, one grade is 2 weeks, one grade is 3 weeks, and then also do that with the Summerfield Waldorf School. And then particularly this year, two of those 12th graders then decided they were going to come spend the summer with us before they went off to college. And they were some of the best ones that they'd had. I mean, sometimes it's a little more challenging having these kids come, but these guys were particularly excellent, besides the fact one of them fell in love with one of my apprentices.
If you look at it just from an economical basis, the school tours work for you just as an advertising. It's kind of a natural. People see what you do, they're interested, and moms it's the little kids, young families that a lot of times are really connecting to the importance of feeding their kids some really good food. So
our members, particularly in the beginning, were very involved. And we presented a budget every year, and we worked together with them. And actually, at one point, because we have a membership in San Francisco and we have a membership in Mendocino County, some of our core group members, and we do have a core group, and sometimes it's more active than other times. And when we were working on the land, it was incredibly more active. So like when we have a real project working together, it's more active. But at that point, in the early years, they decided, at one of our meetings that they needed to increase the budget, and they need to increase the price for the San Francisco membership more than the Mendocino membership, because they felt that they had more money, and besides the fact of the transportation that we added onto it. It's a little bit challenging all of our produce goes through our families. We don't go to farmers market or anything else. We have 160 families. It's a little bit challenging, we have a meeting at the beginning of the year with our San Francisco membership. In the last couple of years, we've done it with the first harvest, and we encourage people to come to that, and so we can just gather and talk about things, talk about what's going on at the farm. And we've had greater success in the last couple of years of actually getting people to come to that meeting. We tell them that we're not doing the distribution that day. They have to come pick up their own produce, so it's not being delivered for them. People's schedules are busy Saturday morning, and that's been great, and we really appreciate that. It's a little bit challenging because we have a membership in the Bay Area and we have a membership in Mendocino County, and trying to coordinate between those two in terms of the budget and things like that. But we keep working on that. We haven't shared our budget for a number of years, but we're heading back towards that to do that.
When I started farming, it was, you know, I had no clue what I was getting myself into. And the CSA concept was the one where I felt I could build that a relationship with my customer where they could share a risk with me based on, you know, but first of all, because I was just a beginning farmer. And I encourage young people, you know, that are interested in starting a farm is to explore this concept right away, because it gives them a certain base. It gives them a certain, you know, safety net with the community that they will feed. And so I know there's these, you know, there's different CSA models, and I think each farm will have a different model. And I see that we had core group, we had surveys, which are very important to find out kind of what people want to have in their shares, what kind of vegetables did they not, you know, what vegetables did they like and did not like. But what it comes down to is that you need to educate or to present your philosophy, what is it that your farm stands for, and whether it's seasonal, whether it's when we had, you know, the rains last year, or when we, you know, there is an inherent understanding that the shares will just not be what they are in July. You know, they're not going to get the value maybe in the beginning of the season, but that's then made up later on in the season. So there's an inherent understanding within our community to only eat what we have growing, and also when the going gets tough, you know, that maybe they're not going to have the value in their share. And typically, over the years, you will screen out of your community members that support that, you know, and it's very important from the beginning to be kind of, to define who you are. For, you know, so there's that clear understanding, I think, and that's how I see it.
Just last year with all the rains, you know, rained all the way March into mid-April, well, that's when, for us, that's when we're planting. Well, we weren't planting, so we had to put everything in starting in the middle of April. For the first time in 20 years, we started our CSA 3 weeks late, and it was incredibly stressful for us, worrying about what was going to happen with people. And for our San Francisco membership, people had already paid because we do that in February for the season. And we went back and forth. What are we going to do? You know, are we going to charge for this? Are we going to, you know, try to do another week at the end of the season? And in the end, we just said, okay, that's what the cost was. This is a share, and this people are sharing in the risk, and we did it. And I was quite nervous, but we went forward, and we put out an email, and some people came back. We put out an email, okay, we're starting 3 weeks late. We didn't even mention, you know, that the price is different, but just that we're starting 3 weeks late. We wondered, should we mention, oh, we'll do a week later. No, we're not going to say anything. Just put an email out, and so in response to those emails, I got all of these emails. What do you think, we're not going to pay? Come on, you know? Yeah, it's raining down here, too. We can see it. It's affecting us. The price of everything is huge. It's gone up. Yeah, we're here, you know? We love you. Keep it up.
Yeah, I'd kind of reiterate that point that you can't be everything to every customer. We have a certain style of box and how we do things at Eat Well Farm. And over the years, it's like, okay, you don't like it? Oh, here's the number of another farm. This is what we do. This is the kind of box. You hate beets, or you hate this. Well, or you don't want fruit. I mean, I have customers that just want vegetables, right? And I send them off to River Dog, who does mostly vegetables in their boxes, you know? If they want home delivery, I send them to Cape Fruits and Vegetables. So, and it actually happens that we get people from other CSAs, you know? So it's kind of sort of like, okay, don't worry, you don't like it, fine. I mean, I fired my first customer in November because she was just, you know, just so demanding. We made a mistake over a little thank you gift, that we actually, if people sign up for 13 weeks and they send us $252, we give them a little one of our lavender products. And for some reason, the whole series of events, she didn't get it. She didn't get a little thank you gift and started writing these kind of nasty emails. And so I wrote back and says, you're fired. I'll send you money back. You know, we don't want this. You know, we work hard enough and earn little enough to have to deal with people like that. And if you don't get it, I'm sorry. Get out of here.
You know? A store.
Yeah.
You know, you want a store, you can go to a store.
Yeah.
So the question is there a fee schedule for your events, or are they gratis to your customers?
Some events are free, like the celebrations that we have, the seasonal celebrations. When it comes to like the mini camp, we do charge a little bit. It's like $50, you know, for up to 100 at the most for a family, for the, you know, 3-day weekend. And then for the school tours, we charge $5 a head, but that's also on a sliding scale. Really depends on the schools that we get. Sometimes it's just a donation of what they can't afford.
All of our potlucks are free. When you think about it, free, it's just a potluck for the members to come to. But the school class visits, that's an income for us that we charge per child to come to the farm.
For our school groups, through CAF, we get $10 a child. And if it's outside of that CAF umbrella, like one of our members is a Waldorf school teacher, we said, you know, just they wanted to pay us something. I said, well, $50. And then the parents, when they were there, they just kicked in another $100. We were just there. I mean, it does take time. You know, I think I'm working for nothing, but, you know. But events are free. I mean, remember, each customer gives me $1,000 a year, right? So I try and look at it in the sense of, well, how much is this costing me to put on? Like my tomato tasting costs about $4 to $5 per person in what I buy for that, like bread and drinks and that. And I think, well, $4 for somebody who's giving me $1,000, it's not a lot.
Okay, so the question is, how do you figure out what your cost, what the share of your cost is? And the second one is, how many seasons do you do? 1, 2, 3 seasons?
We deliver 51 weeks a year. Well, if you think about it, there's reasons for doing it. My core reason for doing, there are two core reasons. Firstly, to keep our customers. People eat 52 weeks of the year. Then the other week they go and get tortured by their relatives. But the real reason is to keep my crew busy. Actually, my first priority here, obviously, is my family, but my second priority on the farm before my customers is my farm crew. I've got guys who've worked... Yeah, I mean, I got guys who are working for me for 13 years. And if you think about it, they're running the farm now. They're doing deliveries. They're irrigating crops. They're taking care of chicks. I don't have to be there, and I don't have to train a whole new load of people.
Most expensive thing in the world.
Yeah, and you know, they're families. I mean, when my sons were born, you know, twin boys, you know, they sort of, you know, macho thing. They were very excited, and then just basically told me to get out of here, get out of there, and come back in a few weeks. So I get very upset about when, you know, these guys are skilled, educated, very intelligent. They may not be well educated, but they're smart guys and ladies. And I value them. And because I can give them year-round work, they take care of the farm too. They have ownership.
So how do you calculate your cost per ship?
Our box is $23. And I try to put $23 worth if you are buying at farmer's market. But I do, you know, flexibility. Like in the summer, if I've got extra peaches or nectarines, sometimes it's $25, $26. And sometimes it's less. So that's the ballpark I'm trying to aim for. But as if you were going to a farmer's market.
Yeah, I did just what Nigel says. as we expanded from 15 to more members, it was inevitable to get some help. And so the help meant that we have workers now that basically make their living off the farm. And we have exactly the same situation. We have one extended family. We have four couples, husband and wife teams on the farm, and then the rest are younger or individuals that have been with us, you know, between 6 and 8 years now. And there's no, I would say, yeah, there's nothing more important than to have an excellent family of workers on your farm. And so that's what the CSA is for as well, is to make sure that they have year-round work, that they can live. They bought their first home just in Watsonville, which is a pretty expensive place, 2 years ago. And so they have stable housing, you know, and they live near the farm, and it's because of the CSA that they're able to do that. And we communicate that, and the price kind of reflects that. So when we price our share, it's really, if we have a $25 box, and it's about $18 worth of produce, because there's so many other things that go into it, the delivery, the bags, the box, the everything else. So it's about that much. And, you know, there's other costs. We just raised our price. I think we need to raise our prices more. There's just no other way. We just can't. And then, of course, the membership, our biggest support is the upfront payment every year. We had a pre-registration in October for 2007, and we asked people to commit for the 2007 season by making a $200 deposit. And so we had 450 members sign up, you know, give us our $200 deposit in October, which is a nice cash flow to have. Yeah, exactly. But it's and now we're asking them in February to, you know, to pay for the rest of the season. So that's kind of the financial safety net in there.
We have a 30-week season, and we're working with apprentices, so we go from beginning of May through December. And generally speaking, the apprentices are gone over the winter, although there was a fellow who stayed with us this winter, happy to just take care of the animals and be busy working on projects. Basically, we started out figuring out the price of the share according to the budget of the farm. And then the last number of years, we have our members decided that they wanted to do an increase in, I don't know what that thing is, cost of price index or something. Cost of living increase. So then we've been increasing the price of the share accordingly to that.
PG&E does it, you might as well.
Yeah. How much is your share? It's different in Mendocino County and San Francisco, the Bay Area. I think it's,
Okay. So, okay. So, what I'm hearing the question is that if you are a small farmer or a beginning farmer and you don't have enough crops to make a TSA share, is there a way to do some sort of collaboration with other farmers?
I think as a beginning grower, at least the way I saw it is I tried to diversify my, let's say, my outlets. You know, I definitely wanted to be in the farmers markets. I did approach, you know, stores locally, and also started the CSA on a small scale. So it was, I tried to be as diverse at the beginning as I could. And so there's the flexibility of if you have too much, you know, to have other outlets. And we still kind of keep that approach, even though most of it is CSA oriented. And what we're doing more and more, because there's a demand for it, is just to network with other farmers. There's some farmers that, you know, offer pastured eggs. There's some farmers in the neighborhood that has a small herd of goats, and they make, you know, milk, cheese, yogurts. And we basically facilitate that networking and offer that to our customers Sometimes it's a direct relationship. The customer goes directly to these farmers, or we manage it and do it in such a way that it's not a loss for us.
Yeah, I work with other farmers to make my boxes more interesting, and also when I make mistakes, to save my ass. And it's really much nicer. I can sleep better at night knowing that, because I did something wrong and one crop failed, that I can get it from another farmer, and they'll also call up and say, hey, Nigel, I'm buried in cauliflower, help. You know, and so we can work together like that. I also think our chicken experiment didn't work. We've had to carry on because there was a lot of debt there, so the farm's taken it over. But I think there's a great opportunity for young farmers to come onto an existing farm and to run a chicken operation or run a hog operation or run flower shares or maybe take care of orchard fruit trees. So I hope one day to have a farm where there are many farmers on the farm who are have a stake in the farm and using the farm as the basic resource, and then to all different people to have different enterprises on that farm. Canning, I can think of so many things, fish farming. I'd love to have ponds and have fish in it and then have the water that normally is a pollutant to use that for irrigating our crops when it's got fertilizer in it. So there are a lot of opportunities for young farmers to work with in big farms.
So the question is, what are some of the limitations to running a CSA farm?
I think the biggest challenge is balance, balancing it all out with your private life, with everything else. I think I remember the moment my wife said, you want to stay married with me? You basically got to, cut back, basically March, there's a mistress that wakes up, it's the land, and I say, I'm gone, see you in December. And that's a balance. I have a 2-year-old and a 12-year-old, and there's a challenge there. And CSAs are definitely more complex. They're very engaging. There's a huge amount of demand from the community, and it goes both ways, but it's really engaging. And so there is a balance that you need to always keep in mind. I think it is, for me, I wouldn't be talking to you here about farming if I wasn't a CSA farmer.
I guess I would agree, just that sense of balance. And me personally, what we're doing, I take on all the newsletters, I do all the bookkeeping, I do all of the communication with members, I do all of the work attracting apprentices, and I set up the whole program for the school visits. I direct that when the schools are there 4 days, and in the winter, I think it's really nice when it's just really quiet. And I've really been appreciating that, in particular this winter, and just walking back from the barn, and wow, I can just talk to myself. I know, and I'm understanding that more and more, and trying to put some limits on that.
I think it depends on what kind of personality you have. If you're a farmer who likes their solitude and wants to wave goodbye at the farm gate to your produce, then CSA is not the thing you should be doing. But if it suits your personality, then I think it's wonderful. And honestly, I can't think of anything that's detrimental. I mean, yes, we have a database. You've got to get yourself organized. CSA member did our database. Great. If I need legal advice, it's not a problem. I've got lawyers, architects, all these people want to help. So I love that. I'm part of a community. That's what is keeping me going. And the farm is a mistress. She's expensive. She's very time.
And very demanding.
And very demanding. So you have to watch your relationships, too.
We have time for one more question, and it will be you, sir.
I just wanted to ask each of you how you were approaching the end of the combustion age. Both on your farm and in terms of externalities of long distances to the system.
I'm pretty sure I've heard that in that tape.
Yeah, so it's about energy. How do we deal with energy? We did a survey a long time ago asking people what were the most important things, like what taking care of the workers and sustainability and the fact that it's organic and all that kind of stuff. Organic came down halfway. Taking care of our workers and sustainability and air quality all came at the top. So we've tried to work towards sustainability. We save all our own tomato seed. We use food waste compost from San Francisco, so we don't use any of the Foster Farms compost. I pick up vegetable oil on a back. I backhaul vegetable oil after delivering the CSA boxes, and our delivery trucks run on straight vegetable oil. Our irrigation pump is run on straight vegetable oil. We're trying. We're on a journey. As much as I can afford to change and see these new technologies, we do it. And yeah, but sustainability is a goal. It's a long way off.
We've, from the very beginning, tried to be solar-based. We're farming with horses. For several years now, we've had a 13-kilowatt photovoltaic system. Hopefully, by the beginning of April, according to the CEC, California Energy Commission, we'll have another 5 kilowatts on a building that we're in the midst of constructing right now. At that point, we should have the majority of our, it's a grid-tie system, and we should have the majority of our electrical use taken care of. We're also working on a solar thermal to take care of our hot water. Stephen's got all these ideas and plans, and we're going to get together with Steve Hackeroth at some point. He's working on we're trying to figure out an electric vehicle for at least, and I don't know where we can get for coming down to the bay, but at least for Willits and Ukiah for our delivery, and also going back and forth to town. And Stephen's got some plan. You'll have to talk to him about working with an Alice G. Chambers old tractor, converting that so that for the we don't do our hay with we do most of the work for the hay with the horses, but we don't bale with the horses. And he's got something figured out where he's going to use the electric tractor for the pulling the baler. And so we're trying to be completely free, and it's the delivery is going to be the hardest for us. But we do all of our own compost. We have all of our animals, and we're collecting compost. That's a big part of our weekly process, is making compost.
One of ours is that we don't own one piece of land, or we own one piece of land, but we lease also land in different areas. So we're not on one plot or one, and that makes it very complicated. You know, here in the Pajaro, Watsonville, most of the land is leased, and it's very hard to come by. It's very expensive. And so we focused mostly on the piece of ground where we started and where we live. We put in a photovoltaic system, a 15-kilowatt photovoltaic system, and that's taking care of about 80% of the electrical needs of the farm, you know, with the cooling, the pumping there. We run on biodiesel. We haven't done the vegetable oil. So that's kind of the extent to which.
Okay, of course, I'm going to take a minute and give a plug, and then you will be free.
We had a CSA pre-conference yesterday. About 50 or so people attended, and I thought it was great. And this was the second year that we had it. And an idea that many of us have been talking about for quite a few years is having another Western Region CSA conference. The last one we had was in 1995. It was quite a few years ago. It was an incredible conference. There, people came from all over the West. There was 400 people attended. And you know, just been feeling the need for a number of years, and would like to, you know, help all of us develop our CSAs and what, Tom, take it to another level that we're working on. We need to help figure out who's going to take that on. It's an enormous project. So in 1995, Jared Lawson worked with CAF, and he there was a grant that was made available, and there was a planning committee. I was on that planning committee. We did an incredible amount of work, But some of those things that we did back then, you know, we figured out, and so we'd have some of those questions answered for this one. So I just think if people have ideas of grants or organizations can help. In the Midwest, they have an organization that organizes this conference for them every year, and I just think it would be wonderful for us. It's wonderful the questions people have. I really enjoyed being here with all of you today and the number of people. And so I would just, you know, if somebody's got the energy of the time, please help us get it together.
And I think the one thing that is lacking is the actual community of members that is represented by, you know, we're just a farmer, but behind us is really a large community of members. And if we can bring all of these people together, it could be a really amazing event to get that together.
Do you have a closing statement, Nigel?
I would just like to say that I think CSAs have huge potential, and that you know, we can reach out to our members through our newsletters, and we do these whole things with biodiesel and with vegetable oil because our members want us to do them because we want to do them, and this power of CSAs is incredible. We get as tens of thousands of people in the Bay Area get a box every week. So I say that to our members that getting a box is a political act. And it's probably that, you know, this country, I mean, I wasn't born here, but it's not,
really?
No. And, you know, I mean, that's the best democracy money can buy. And the power of your dollar is pretty much the power you have. And I really respect those members who write that check to us. And I thank them that because of them, these guys who are working on the farm and me, we're not working with pesticides. The farm isn't contributing to runoff into the bay. The farm isn't, you know, there's so many things. And it's more than just a box of vegetables. And just I think it's great.
Sorry.
Well, it's all right. It's okay.
My plug is for the children that come to the farm every time. You know, I mean, the adults, they got it figured out, and we have. But the children, we can plant new seeds in those children to reconnect with their food and with their land, we're making a huge difference. And I think that's where CSAs and the whole community aspect, you know, that children, again, feel like there's a community around them and that there is something where they can come together and really celebrate. And that's what this, I guess, conference was about, or this workshop, is to celebrate the food and make it sacred, you know, make believe that it is actually something that is not just anything that comes to our table, you know, and nourishes us in a, you know, just to get us through the day. But I think we should honor it, and we should kind of get back to a natural cycle by honoring the food that we eat.
All right. Well, that was fabulous.